than I have. So if you can tolerate hearing this, then I'll try to enjoy it. And I do enjoy preaching. A person that's been called to preach that don't enjoy preaching, I don't know what's going on. I enjoy hearing good preaching too. We just heard two good messages, and we thank the Lord for them, and thank the Lord for these men and this church. It is so beautiful. You folks have done a great job restoring this. That water was up
5.5 foot.
I'm telling you, we got involved into it a little bit here. And you had so much sheetrock mud on you. It was hard picking 1 foot up and then another foot. They went down real quick, all that mud on it. I was telling somebody, and it's a fact, when I got home, we got home late that night, cleaning up and tearing sheetrock out and what have you. And the next day, I had to use a pressure washer to get all that mud off in boots. Water hose just wouldn't do it. Pressure washer. It's good to be here. This is a very important service.
Yes, it is.
We thank the Lord for this church. We thank the Lord for His call.
Right.
First, His call that He had given to Brother Charlie. And, of course, the church. Extending that call to him to be your pastor. And he is right now. He's your pastor.
Yes, sure is.
He's about to be ordained, but he's your pastor.
Right.
And we see him as the pastor right here, recognize him in the past as the pastor, and we love him as the pastor.
Right.
So I've been asked to give the charge to the church. I've been thinking about this since Brother Charlie called me. I was hunting whenever he called me, I believe I was. And I was whispering to him, "You won't scare all the animals away. Let me give the charge to the church." And I said, "Fine." I've been thinking about that. I don't know if I've ever gotten a pulpit and preached to where I felt like I was preaching to the choir.
Right.
Just like I am right here.
Right.
This church knows how to take care of a pastor.
That's right.
But then I have the privilege and the responsibility to preach the charge to the church. Why, you've got two previous pastors here that testify to that. I know they would. I know. And of course, Brother Charlie has been the pastor for a while now. Two of the other pastors, I knew them. And they're both with the Lord right now. They're in glory. But they pastored this church, and if they could come back and tell us, they'd give the same testimony. That church right there in Devil Spring, they love their pastor. And they take care of their pastor. And that's something that's very important. There in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, and I want to read through verse 4 with you. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, at verse 1, says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And all men that are called have been saved, are being saved, and they shall be saved. There's no question to that. The charge to the church. You have already called Brother Charlie, as I have mentioned, to be your pastor here at the Grace Bible Baptist Church. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles." And then he gave some, it says, prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Brother Charlie being called to pastor this church, and he also teaches this church. And there are other men here in this church capable of teaching God's Word. Now, I've heard them. They're good. They know the Scriptures. It's his responsibility to lead, to direct this church. That responsibility has been given to him by God, and in this church as well. He's not a harlot. No pastor is a harlot at all. There in John, the 10th chapter, verses 12 and 13. In fact, you know what a harlot will do? A harlot will run the first sign of trouble that comes along. They'll just pack up and they'll get out. He says, but he that is an harlot and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The harlot fleeth, because he is an harlot, and careth not for the sheep. Now I'll tell you something else. Now it's my responsibility again to give the charge, so I'm going to give charge to this church. Now, just go ahead and buckle up. I know you love your pastor, you love the Lord. You've always loved each pastor that you've had, and you love this one right here, and it should. He's not the doormat of this church. That's not really his responsibility. He'll find himself doing that a whole lot, cleaning up a whole lot. Never will forget, Brother Wayne Kemp told me one time, this was many, many years ago. He had pastored a church and he cleaned it up all the time. He always cleaned up. He said he just got tired of it. He got a broom and he swept that building and he piled every bit of it right in front of the pulpit. People started coming in. Looking at that, he never said a word. Just waited until it was time for him to preach. He got up, first words out of his mouth was, I quit. They looked at him like a cave looking at a new gate. We have just lost our pastor. He said, I haven't quit pastoring, but I've quit being your janitor. Yeah, that's the responsibility of this church. He'll find himself doing that. I know I've been at the Northside Baptist Church. Next month will be 31 years. But I don't mind doing it, but he's not the janitor here. He has been called by God. He has been recognized by you. He is respected by you, the congregation, to be your under-shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd. God works on both ends of every detail. He's never just called a man and said, I want you to pastor that church, a particular church, and not lay it upon the heart of the church. Or tell the church, I want you to call this man over here to be the pastor. Whenever God does that, I'll tell you what, he works on both ends of every detail. He'll tell both people. He'll tell both of them. So he moved Brother Charlie upon your heart. So you do have him in your heart as your pastor. To love him, to respect him.
Right.
And with your love and with your support, you can make it a wonderful, wonderful journey. Hopefully until here and the Lord Jesus comes back. That's what we're looking for.
That's right.
And that being very, very soon. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And a true pastor of a church is concerned for every single member. He may not be in 100% agreement with every member. There might be a little bit of problem here and there. Nothing real bad, hopefully, but he's going to love you. A pastor that does not love the congregation cannot pastor that church. He can't do it. As they must give an account. He must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you, the church, completely. His calling is a high calling. It's an important calling. People think being elected president of the United States is the highest calling in the world. This is the highest calling in the world right here, because you're preaching to various souls. Those that are saved, you're leading them and directing them, encouraging them. Those that are not saved, you're doing all that you can do to present from the Scripture Christ Jesus to them. And that's important. if you'll direct your souls in spiritual truths as it's supposed to be. So he has a higher calling than the calling that you have given him here as your pastor, because first and foremost, he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he must give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, what is your responsibilities as this church? What should you do? What is your responsibilities in making it a joyful time, a wonderful time, for you as a church and for him and his wife here, because she's going to be involved too. He's the only pastor. She's not a co-pastor, but I'll tell you what, she's his helpmeet, I'll tell you that. A pastor with his wife, and they work together on many things. Mine is my secretary. If I want to know anything, I have to ask Pauline. She knows numbers and very well. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, they know everything.
Yeah, they do.
Just ask.
I believe that there are many things that I could present to you this morning, but I want to show you. You have a threefold purpose in supporting your new pastor, church. First of all, pray for him. That's the best thing you do. Start with pray for him. I've been pastoring and preaching for many, many years. Every time somebody tells me I'm praying for you or I have prayed for you, it's as though I could feel the very power of their prayer. And I was encouraged by knowing that there are those that prayed for me. One thing he will need from this church is your prayers.
That's right.
To pray for him. The most important task that you have as a church body is to pray both individually and collectively for him. Get together and lift him up to the Lord. Pray for him before the time of service. Pray for him as he studies God's Word so that he can present God's Word to you. Pray for him as he mounts the pulpit to deliver God's Word. Brother Jerry was talking about Charles Haddon's Spurgeon. Had a bunch of visitors go to the Metropolitan Tabernacle one time. And he said, come down here, I want to show you the power room.
That's right.
And they thought he was going to take them down where they've got the steam engines and all that stuff going to heat the building. Wasn't anything but a bunch of chairs and men in there. While Charles Spurgeon was preaching, those men were in that room praying. They were praying. Prayer is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
That's right.
It's effective. God hears the prayers of his people. Satan has a field day trying to destroy the ministry, the lives of pastors and churches and families. I mean, he thrives upon that. Your pastor and your wife could be under constant attack from the world. This may be a small church, but that's all right. Some attacks could be relentless. They could be at times just unexpected. They may even come from some who profess to be Christians as well as unbelievers. But they will come trying to corner him in some way or another. I know used to Pauline and I would go there at Oakdale. We would eat at certain places. And I remember times we'd go there and some Arminian sitting over there, knowing I was a pastor, knowing I was Sovereign Grace Baptist. That's a strange thing in Oakdale. We're the only church there that preaches the truths that we know the Bible teaches. And they would just ask me all sorts of questions. The only way I would, and she knows this, the only way I would ever answer them was by quoting scriptures to them concerning the questions that they asked. And finally, they just quit. I quit arguing years and years ago with anybody. It doesn't do any good. I don't have to defend God's Word at all. His credibility, your pastor's credibility, it's magnified. In fact, it's magnified under deceptive microscope from a world that really doesn't care anything about God at all. From those who, for the most part, don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they could care less what he preaches here. His responsibility as a pastor, there are those who would just completely rejoice if something was to happen to this church or to the pastor. They would love to see the pastor fall morally. That's the world and the time that we're living in. There may be times that he will feel that he lives in a glass house. People are watching him, and they do that. You're a preacher, you pastor, servant. You say something that somebody thinks is a little bit out of order, they might even say, I thought you was a preacher. Because they're trying to pick up things here and there. They're trying to put them down. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to love your pastor. You need to pray for him and his wife on a daily basis. That's very important. Ask God to give him wisdom. Ask God for his protective hand upon him. Ask God to lead him and direct him every time he mounts this pulpit. I'll tell you what, God will hear those prayers. And whenever this man stays, God will lay it upon his heart. I know that. Pray for him as he studies God's word, as I said, as he preaches. James, the 5th chapter in verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual prayer of a fervent, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the first thing. Pray for him. What is the other? Be patient. Brother Charlie does not know everything. But I've got news for you, Brother Keith and brother. Neither do y'all. Neither do I. Neither does Brother Jerry, Brother David. The Lord knows everything. We don't know everything. In fact, he's a flawed man. He's flawed. But church, you're flawed too. You're just not complete at all. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From the pulpit right on down to the pew, the Lord's church is made up of incomplete people who stand in dire need of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician. But I do believe this. I believe that he has, and I believe that he does, and he will, to the best of his ability, faithfully preach God's word to you. Whenever times are good, he'll do that. When times are not so good, then he'll still do that, because that would be your responsibility. And it'd be the responsibility of this church as well to take heed to God's word as you are ministered to from your pastor. It might take time for him to do some of the things that he would like to do, but you be patient with him as he will be patient with you. Every church is looking for that perfect pastor. And those pastors are looking for that perfect church too. And you're just not going to find them like that. It may take time to really appreciate completely his leadership, his faithfulness, as he leads this church in the direction that God would have you to go in. Might take time, I don't know. Because, you know, there's no need in criticizing, is what I'm wanting to say. Just put yourself in his place. He has a grave responsibility. Taking on the pastorship of this congregation. So I say to you, pray for Brother Charlie. Be patient with Brother Charlie as he leads you, being your pastor, your under-shepherd. I believe that he, by the grace of God, will lead you as he is led of the Lord. Now the third thing, then the last thing, and I'm trying to go ahead and finish this. I know we've got some more things to do. But here's something else for the church. Participate. Be involved. Do something. Do it right. Try to do it right. It is your responsibility to participate with your pastor. Now, he is the pastor. A church only has one pastor. Not just one. Just one. Nobody else. Deacons, as Brother David so wonderfully gave charge to the deacons, they're not the little pastor of the church. They teach. They can teach. They could even preach as far as that goes. But the buck stops right there concerning the leadership, spiritual leadership of this church. But he can't do everything alone. He can't do it. You did not call him to do your job. You have a job. You have responsibilities. You didn't call him to do your part. You have called him to pray for you, to lead and direct you, to preach the blessed gospel of Christ Jesus to you. You should pray for him. You should be patient with him, but you should participate. Listen intently whenever he comes into this pulpit and he preaches. Pray that God would give you the heart that whenever the service is over, everything is done, and as you leave the building, you would be able to say, the preaching of the Word of God has affected my life. And it ought to do that. God's Word, as it is preached, ought to affect the life of every person who seriously listens to it. It's the responsibility of this church to listen to him whenever he's preaching. Your faithful participation, I believe, does two things. First, it reveals your support for this pastor. And you're too supportive. And also the direction that God is leading this church in. But the second thing is both an affirmation as well as a encouragement to your pastor that you recognize that it's God that has called him to be your pastor. I know the church has voted and said, we want Brother Charlie to be our pastor. And the church said yes. The church voted and said, that's fine. But God has already taken care of that matter. Now you know Brother Charlie. I don't know how long you've known him, but you've known Brother Charlie, I'd say, a pretty good while. You believe that he is going to seek God's will as he directs this church in spiritual paths that should be. I believe that he will be faithful in his responsibilities. And his responsibilities. It may not at all times be what is best for you. It may not at all times be what is best for him. But it must be what is best for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's what we need to do as churches. We believe that it will glorify God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he is followed as he should be. Participate. Get involved in matters. You know, it is just as much the responsibility of every single member of this church to be in your pew when it is church time as it is for him to be behind this pulpit. It's not laid more upon him to be here than it is for you to be in that pew. Now what if he come in 15, 20 minutes later after church started and everybody's sitting around waiting for the preacher to come so he can get up there and preach? I might be stepping on toes, but that's all right. You rub them whenever you get home. That'll work out real good. I've seen some come in after all the singing. I love singing. When the singing's done there, we've got a couple, I think, that happens. And I don't mean to criticize people, but don't criticize unless you let them know it too. But anyway, after the singing's done, I love the singing in the church. singing and the praying. You're not here just to be spectators. You're not here for that. But responsible members of this congregation, and you are to go forth under the leadership of this pastor. You know, in 1 Corinthians 9th chapter, verses 24 and 25, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Just one receives the prize. But so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
Right.
All of us are going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be received one day. It's coming. No getting around that. Every child of God, every person that's saved by the grace of God, we'll have to give answer to God for our lives. You, as a church, will indeed give answer to how you have respected or not so the pastors that you've had. And the pastor will have to give an account for his ministry before the Lord Jesus Christ. A challenge is set before you. You, as a church, need to act upon this challenge. And I know that you have done that, but again, this is my time preaching. Pray for your pastor. Be patient with your pastor. Participate with your pastor on things here in this church. Whenever you do this, you'll be doing it for the glory of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Pastor.